This is PodTech.net. I'm Jason Lopez, and here is Pat Gelsinger, Senior Vice President and General Manager of the Digital Enterprise Group at Intel. Welcome to the podcast, Pat.
Pleasure to be with you today, Jason.
Let's talk about some of the new things happening around 45 nanometer and some of the new concepts that Intel is telling us about. And one thing is this new technical term, TikTok. I wonder if you could describe what this means in the development cycle at Intel.
Yes, and what TikTok is, we've sort of used it as a shorthand to describe our development methodology, and it's sort of like clockwork, right? TikTok, we wanted to describe how, in fact, we're doing development, where a tick would be a product that's aligned with a new process technology, 65, 45, 32, so those are ticks, and then tocks are new microarchitectures, big leaps in architectural capabilities. And the ticks would come on odd years, like 2007 is a new 45 nanometer process, and the tocks would come on even years, and that's Nehalem. So this year we have Penryn, next year we have Nehalem, and then it continues on going forward. So just like clockwork, we have a cadence of new products into the industry.
Now, one analyst used to call this the Intel escalator, where as one product is being delivered, to that top floor and actually out in the marketplace, you have another one on that bottom floor that's just being thought of on the whiteboard. It hasn't even really been developed even much beyond that. And then, of course, you have a whole range of chips in between that some we know about, some we're beginning to know about, others are, slated for production. Does that still hold true at Intel?
Yeah, that still holds true. And if you think about it, right, we have pipeline development, right? And that fits this escalator model where the development cycle for a new process technology is starting, 4, 6, 8 years in advance. So teams are already working today at Intel on 45, 32, 24, and 17. Similarly, our design teams are working years in advance. It's 4, 5, 6 years for a major new microarchitecture. So today I already have Nehalem underway. The one after that, right, we call Sandy Bridge, so that's underway, and we're already launching the one for 2012, the one after that. And each of these developments then, as you say, is an escalator to deliver products every single year, major new market.
Well, with such deep technology, it's very difficult to understand. How often do you, in your department, I'm serious about this, how often do you have to worry about mixed metaphors in the way you describe these things?
Well, it takes a lot of work to keep things and the teams on track. And literally, I and my key counterpart who owns, right, between the two of us, the core development teams, we meet on the weekly basis with our core engineering teams, reviewing projects, reviewing postmortems, making sure we're aligned, having deep technical debates, and then also making sure we're leveraging each other on that escalator that one is building on the other.
So let's talk about Penryn, the 45 nanometer product coming out second half of this year, and then you have another architecture, microarchitecture, that's slated for 2008. Let's talk about what's happening lately with 45 nanometer.
Sure. Well, 45 nanometer, second half this year, ramp it into production. We'll have parts in mobile and desktop as well as in server, dual and quad core. We have instruction set enhancements we call SSE4. We have bigger caches, faster buses, up to 1600 front side bus, and a number of improvements to specifically improve energy efficiency, new low power modes that make it even better for particularly for mobile devices as well. So a pretty rich set of capabilities as part of Penryn.
And we're going to see the Penryn technology across the board in Intel's chips, from server chips to what we get in our laptops.
Yes, across each segment, and that's part of this converge core model that we take Penryn and we have the version that goes into mobile. We call that Penryn. Wolfdale is what goes into the desktop, right? And then we have Harpertown, the server version.
Now, Nehalem, what does this represent?
So as we go to 2008, Nehalem will come into the market. Nehalem is a big new architecture. And in it, right, it increases the number of cores, right? We've said from 1 to 8 cores. It has multiple threads per core, so up to 16 threads of operation, new caching, new memory architecture, integrated memory controller, a links-based architecture, integrated graphics, and then continued improvements in performance and energy-efficient performance as well. So a rich new set of technologies and the biggest platform change that we've made since the early 90s.
Now, when you say a platform change, I wonder if you could describe how that is different than a process technology change, like going to 45 nanometer.
Yeah, when we say the platform change, largely, and we've been enhancing it, each year, but largely we've been built around what's been termed the front-side bus architecture, right? And each generation has enhanced that, right? We've had new chipsets, new board designs, but it's largely been building on that system architecture. We'll be moving to an entirely new system architecture with Nehalem. And so that's a big redesign of the chipsets, of the boards, and we see huge value coming with that new systems architecture, but it's a big change. So a lot of our customers, the big computer manufacturers, are really gearing up for those major new system designs.
If we were to take a step back, how much of this is actually sort of a backdoor development into creating, for lack of a better way of describing it, sort of a super television set?
Well, as we like to think about these, we see these as new application areas, right? And what we see is that the application areas, like you suggest, with video, media, it's moving to high definition. Wow, that's a lot more computing and just, you know, great new capabilities. And interactive video, right, the ability for games to be, right, you know, both operating in synthetic world as well as real video as well. In other domains like servers, we're seeing things like search, right, and media search and YouTube emerging as huge new application domains. And largely what we see sort of incrementally over the 6 or 7 year horizon that you suggest is the emergence of, you know, internet-based workloads that are exploding, right, across the home as well as across business. And we see that affecting what we build for clients. They're becoming more mobile, right, you know, more connected, right, higher performance and more media-centric, as well as what we build in servers, right, which become higher density, higher performance, and more data and internet protocol-based, right, in what they try to deliver. So a huge, I'd say one of the most exciting times in computer architecture build out in the last decade or two.
But I couldn't do the math right here, but I imagine that if I were to throw an Intel multi-core, you know, chip in every television set that exists in the world today, you're talking about exploding your market.
Well, we're excited about that. In fact, some of the high-end set-top boxes, some of the new high-definition DVD players, you know, HD DVD and Blu-ray, actually use Intel architecture products for their programmability and their performance, right? That's part of it. So we are starting to inch into some of those markets, and we really see two very important markets going forward. One is consumer electronics, right? And the use of both networking and high-definition media, right, is a real growth opportunity for Intel. And the second area is in ultra-mobile devices, handsets, and wireless communication devices. And we're seeing them, we're building very low-power versions of Intel architecture to reach into that marketplace as well. And both of those we see as huge growth and enormous markets that we're not participating in nearly to the degree today that we hope to in the future.
Let's talk about IDF Beijing. Why Beijing?
Well, it turns out, you know, that China is today the second largest market for computers in the world. It's the fastest growing market for computers in the world. Many of the, you know, ODMs, you know, people that design the computers, you know, from Taiwan are now, you know, operating in China as well. There's an extraordinary emergence of the software development community in China. So all these things are pointing to Asia. And as we thought about the, you know, coming IDF cycle, we said, let's try something different. You know, let's have the premier IDF occur in, right, you know, what is the fastest growing market, both from a product as well as a technology perspective. So it's a big experiment for us. And so far, it's looking very good. But, you know, we hope to have lots of our friends join us in Beijing. It's going to be a great time.
Can you give us maybe a little preview of your keynote?
Well, we're going to talk, you know, we talked about Penryn and Nehalem. We'll give more description for both of those technologies as part of it. We're going to demonstrate some of our new customers, right, and some of their product directions. So we're quite excited about that. So some first ever demonstrations there. And clearly, we're going to talk, right, about a few technology areas that have never been disclosed before and lay out some directions and some areas that, you know, we've never described publicly before. And I think that's going to be quite interesting for, right, the market and the industry at large.
The idea of mobile computing, we often talk about it in the United States as being about having the ability to go to the coffee shop and check your email, and that's what mobile computing means to many Americans. But I imagine in a place like China, mobile computing is about just having access.
And in some ways it'll be, you know, it's quite interesting because it is incorrect to think about Bangalore or Beijing as a second tier city. These are first tier cities that have high penetrations of connectivity, broadband, and computing, right? They're also, right, third tier cities in inner China and, you know, the rural parts of India as well. So they're very diverse markets. And what we see for broadband wireless and things like WiMAX is that this isn't another network, this is the network as you go to those environments, right? Particularly as you go to some of the smaller and more rural areas, that this becomes the way that they get connected. There is no copper telephone network, right? There is no installed cable network that you're upgrading, that WiMAX becomes the
network. If your Wi-Fi doesn't work or if your wireless isn't working, we'll just plug in and then you'll get it that
right,
way.
No,
it
doesn't right, there is no way. Coffee shop to go down to in case, you know, your broadband got disconnected at home, right? This becomes the network for voice, for media, right, and for data services in the future. And in that sense, we see some of the emerging markets leapfrogging the mature markets because they don't have an installed base, an incumbency, right, that's, you know, trying to amateurize the installed capital. They just want to get the first connectivity. And in that sense, it's very exciting to see them move forward very rapidly. And at the same time, you know, we see them closing the gap technologically, right, to, right, the U.S., you know, their focus on education, their focus on embracing technology, right, really are quite extraordinarily. And, you know, they're not interested in, you know, leftover technology. They want the best and in those markets. And, you know, as such, we see incredible appetite, right, for, right, the leading edge technologies in those marketplaces.
So I understand you're going to be a blogger as well. And I imagine that this is something that not necessarily is going to be new to you, because I imagine you read blogs all the time, but I wonder if you could tell me anything that you're perhaps planning in your blogs, or you're just going to let it come to you when it happens.
Well, you know, I've been an internal blogger inside of Intel for probably the last year or so and have great response internally to that. So it's been sort of fun. So I'd say I've been honing my blogging skills by a more contained audience inside of Intel. So now we're going to...
You haven't been flamed yet in Intel, huh?
Oh, sure I have been, but maybe not nearly what it will be when we go external. At the same time, I read people like, you know, Jonathan's blog from Sun, you know, and, you know, have looked at that and, you know, and the response to that. So, you know, it's a bit of an experiment for me personally and for Intel. And we're going to be talking about the technologies that we describe, right, and really getting some firsthand feedback to them in real time from the developer community that we're trying to reach. So it's a big experiment for us, and I'll be kicking off the IDF blogging myself, and then we're going to have a number of other people participating with me.
Well, Pat Gelsinger, we look forward to seeing you at IDF and hearing what you have to say about some of these new ideas coming out of Intel.
And I'm looking forward to it as well. Thank you very much, Jason and Podtech.